and welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. My guest today is doing incredible research. You've seen her before on this show. Her name is Maria Z, and she's one of the only people talking about the UN 100 and the AI World Society. She did a four-part series, which I highly recommend you see, really full of information, and she goes through all of the documents and more. So we're going to talk about that today because I think it's so incredibly important and so few people are discussing it. So I really want to help get the word out about this because these are their plans. And, you know, they say best laid plans of mice and men, right? So plans do not necessarily have to come to fruition, but it is incumbent upon us if we want to preserve the free will of humanity to stop them. So we can't stop them if we don't know what their plans are. So we're going to talk about what the plans are. I also want to tell you that, of course, you can click on the links below to support the podcast. And I'm going to be doing another Give, Send, Go. This is just a general to support the podcast, but I'm going to be doing another Give, Send, Go because I have been invited to the Inspire Global Leadership Summit, which is part of the Geneva Project. This is going to be at the end of May when the WHO is having their meeting to destroy humanity, in my opinion. But we're going to be having a meeting to counteract some of their plans and their, the pandemic accords and all of those things. But it is a very expensive trip. So I am going to be offering a giveaway of we have two books from Jay Dyer, who is phenomenal, doing phenomenal work. You've seen him many times on my show here, and he is a very prolific author. And we're going to be doing for anybody who enters a minimum of $30. So it's a huge discount for the book. If you enter a minimum of $30, then you will be entered in to win his philosophy book and a minimum of $25 to win his Esoteric Hollywood number 2 book. But any donations are really appreciated because it is a very expensive trip. But I would love to go because I want to do whatever I can to stop what they're doing because it is really destructive. And we saw what happened with COVID. So I think their plans ahead are not going to be any brighter. So without further ado, let's bring on Maria. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. So you did this incredible expose. You did a really deep dive on the AI World Society, and really, I have not heard anybody else talk about it. So, and I don't know why. I don't know if they just don't know or, yeah, but it's every opportunity I have, I try to, you know, point people in that direction because it is so incredibly dystopian, but they've laid it all out. They've laid out literally, they want to put us in a digital prison. So, maybe you can give a little overview of how did you even find out about it and like what, yeah, give us a brief overview.
I've said many times, and especially of late, I've been repeating this, that I really do feel like conservative media or alt media don't have a solid understanding of the United Nations and their plans for a one world government. And I think that because they don't understand, you know, they report on what a lot of what's wrong in the world. They report on the, you know, sexualization of children, and they report on what the WHO is trying to do. These are all symptoms of the cancer that is the United Nations. When you look at their medical arm, the WHO, they say that you need to teach children about sex as early as 5 years old. When you look at where the mandates and the perpetual life cycle of injections forever comes from, it's from the WHO, which is the UN. Yeah. And so I really do think people just do not understand this threat. They don't understand that, you know, when Biden says he's going to ban your incandescent lights or petrol vehicles, it's coming from the UN. And they, or everything that they implement, that they talk about is what drives local policy. And so as long as we are coupled with the United Nations, who are trying to install a one world government, we will never be free of this mess. I just think that people really don't understand it. They, you know, talking about issues is important and entertaining and all of that. But if we actually want to stop it, we have to go to the root. So I understood that years ago. I've known that the New World Order was coming, and I've known that the United Nations plays a huge part in this. And obviously, as I've become more involved in politics at a local level, because I used to hate it, but you have to be in this world, I've realized that so much of it is coming from the UN, and therefore I started digging into the UN. They've been so unhappy with my reporting, and anyone who's watched my stuff would know how much I've exposed about the UN. They've been so unhappy with my reporting that, in fact, they the Antonio Guterres's own personal assistant responded to a hit piece about me. So I'm on their radar. They do not like the fact that they are being exposed. And throughout my research, I found this this book on the age of global enlightenment and what it actually means. And so, you know, we can, I mean, I've referenced and read this book so many times. We could talk about any aspect you like, but I just want to really give you credit, Courtney, because, you know, I mentioned this on a lot of podcasts when I'm invited to speak. And people just kind of glaze over. It's like too much. You know what I mean? So I want to give you, you know, a huge amount of credit for paying attention to this, because this is literally the blueprint for global enslavement. And it outlines everything that we talk about is packed into this book. The vision that they have for a dystopian digital prison is in this book. It's there.
Oh, it absolutely is. And yeah, I remember when we had the opportunity to meet in person. So this is the great part of technology. Like, there's a lot of dystopian aspects of technology, but the really cool things, I get to meet people across the world and then physically meet them in real life. That's really awesome, and spend time with them. So that was, you know, a real treat. And I remember you telling me about it. I was like, I have to read this book. And I mean, it never left me. And so I did a few months ago now, but I did a episode on the Lucius Trust. And it does seem like, and I know you've talked quite a bit about this, that this is a religion that's driving them. You know, it's not a biblical religion, but it looks like, you know, if you know anything about the history of the Lucius Trust, that theosophical type of religion, you know, definitely a more mystical, maybe Luciferian, but it's, you know, it's religious. It's not just this, you know, technical scientific idea, you know, if anything, maybe scientism. But looking into that, that seems to be driving everything that they're doing. And it is really all about mind control. So I wrote down a couple of notes, you know, in terms of things that there were so many things that stuck out for me. But I think one of the things was what people talk about, you know, the social credit system and, of course, the digital currency and the UBI. And they talk about a social value reward system. They're masters of manipulating language. And so that sounds a lot better, right? Now we're going to earn it. But yeah, so I don't know, maybe we could start there.
Absolutely. Yeah. They, you're right. They paint it as a positive thing. And they say, we're not going to punish people for bad behavior, but we're only going to reward them for good behavior. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So this fits in perfectly with Bill Gates' patent 060606 that says that your body will be mining crypto. You'll be mining cryptocurrency with your body's data. And so they talk about how, and it's important for people to understand what they're painting to you is a mixed reality, which is where sort of the synthetic biology aspect comes in, right? Where you can't differentiate the difference between the internet and real life. It's about merging the internet with your existence. And to the point where there is no differentiation. In fact, you know, when you look at some of these techno nuts, they talk about, you know, you're not actually going to visit your mum because you can't leave your pod or whatever. But you'll have a hologram in your room of your mum, and you'll hug her, and you will literally experience the sensations of a hug. You will get that, you know, oxytocin release. You will feel your mum's skin as though you are really hugging her. And they aim to create this sensation through synthetic biology. And this is really what the AI World Society, they say that you'll be rewarded for contributing to the AI World Society in the ways in which they want you to. So what that means is, if you were to say, I actually want to give my mum a real hug and go and visit her, you won't be able to earn digital currency. But if you find a new fun way to expand this digital metaverse type of situation to hug your mum better, then you'll be rewarded. Do you know what I mean? That's in practice what it looks like, because you only get rewarded for expanding their god Satan's digital world, because he can't make a real world, so he has to make a digital one. And that's how you will actually earn digital currency. It's insane. And you know, where they're saying to you, like, people think social credit score, you'll be punished. It's an immediate cutoff of your bank account. You won't have access to digital money. But again, the point is that you are only rewarded when you do what they like. That's right. Creepy, because they like having sex with kids. They like, punishing parents for being concerned about what their kids are learning in school. They like prosecuting political opposition. They like people that say that AI is God. And even the name of the book, Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global, that's a yeah. Luciferian term. That's what, you know, figures like Alice A. Bailey spoke about. And, you know, it's they're heading in this direction of this one world God. I don't think AI will be the God, but AI will certainly be dictating, if you will, to humans how they should live their lives. And this is evidenced, by the way, Courtney, in Policy Horizons Canada, their publication. It's an official Canadian government publication where they talk about biodigital convergence.
Yeah.
And they talk about how AI, you'll wake up in the morning and AI, you won't think for yourself. AI will tell you what nutrients you're missing, and then you'll 3D print that on your counter. And, you know, you may need to take this injection or that injection to top up whatever nutrients you're missing or whatever the case may be. AI will be integrated with your body and telling you what you need to do. You won't think for yourself anymore. And figures like Yuval Noah Harari talk about this, where, you know, he says AI is going to determine who you love, because you don't know. AI knows better than you because it's integrated in your body. And so this is really what the UN's talking about in their book. They are describing a future when that has already happened and what that will look like.
Yeah. Wow. So I think of the simulacrum, which is, you know, essentially what the Matrix was based on. They based it on Baudrillard, the Wachowski brothers, now sisters, but they based it, but Baudrillard himself said that if he had written it, that you wouldn't be able to get out. And I almost feel like they're taking the Matrix to the next level, because in a way you really can't get out, because you're talking about, well, you'll be discouraged and you'll be, you know, you'll get demerits basically from your digital account if you don't figure out a better way to hug your mom in the virtual world and you want to actually step out, right? but so really they're creating a world that you're trapped into. But they're going to try and make it seem as real as possible. And they're doing this step by step. And I feel like they're already doing it with the cybernetics. They're already doing it with all these algorithms that they feed people. People, yes. You know, are losing sense of what's happened in the real world, what's happened on Twitter or whatever social media platform they're on. That's really scary.
I'm very concerned about Twitter because I noticed that I wasn't on it for a long time. I'd been banned. Mm-hmm. You know, too many times, yeah. Couldn't be bothered, didn't trust Elon, all of that sort of stuff. Right. But then I saw, okay, this is a really powerful tool to get crucial information out there. Although anything that I post about transhumanism just doesn't seem to want to reach people.
can't imagine why.
Yeah, whereas, you know, an outlandish video, you know, I think, people would be interested in this. It seems to be certain content that goes viral. But anyway, I started to use it, and I found in that first month or so when I started using X, I was hopelessly addicted to this app. And I am not someone that gets addicted easily to any technology, because I actually despise it. You know, I know that it does a lot of good for us, but I've said so many times, if I wasn't doing this, I would be on no social media. I'd have no phone. I'd probably not even have, a regular internet connection in my home. I just don't like technology, but we have to fight with it because we're in this war, right? So anyway, but I found myself helplessly addicted, feeling the urge to check X. You know, feeling inside my body that I need to check X. And I was aware of it, obviously, because I'm aware of these things. And I thought there is something more going on with this app than many of us understand. There's something else going on here. I haven't quite put my finger on it, but I think that you're right in terms of the algorithms, the ways in which they interact with us, the ways in which they hook us are far beyond what people are perceiving right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And then when you were talking about like the bio-digital convergence, you had done like in the section 4 of your series, you went through this really scary, which essentially is bio-digital convergence, just like the Internet of Things, the Internet of nano things, and really just the Internet of everything. Yeah, can you talk a little bit about that? I think people don't believe it. I've tried to talk about this a lot, and people think that, I've seen both ends. There are people who talk about nanotechnology and they talk about it in everything. And I don't think they really, micro technology is not the same as nanotechnology. So I think there's a lot of, misinformation around it, misinterpretation, and then just disbelief. So,
yeah, we're at the point where people are glowing under fluorescent lights. I don't think that people really understand how serious this is. I'm not saying that to be bombastic. I actually have an individual in Australia who was who comes from a very, very, science-believing family, had no idea that anti-vaxxers even existed or that there were any concerns about the injections, just came from a really, we thought we were doing the right thing, we trust the science. And after a second injection, she started actually, she's a meditator, right? So she's quite self-aware. She started becoming acutely aware that she was having some sort of an AI integration happening in her body. She describes going into these phases, these hyper-focus phases where the AI is like programming her and it's replicated her consciousness. And it's changing her memories. She's got like a digital display in front of her at times, like a visor situation. And so this is really an extreme case,
right?
But we can't discount all of the accounts from targeted individuals over the years, for example, with Voice to Skull and all of the various things that they report. I believe them. I know TIs, personally. And so, when you look at some of those crazy things that they've been doing to people, and people used to say, well, that's just crazy. And now they go, oh, well, that's actually real. To think that they wouldn't be going to this next level of experimentation with an AI integration into certain individuals is naive, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't discount that experience. And we certainly shouldn't discount it because it's on the rise. I'm hearing more of this, similar instances to this individual. And I've actually seen photos of people that are being sent to me that I'm not permitted to publish at this stage, of these glowing dots under the skin, on the tongue, on the eyes. People say that it's a skin condition. Okay, what's it doing on the tongue and in the eyeballs? You know what I mean? And so for anyone who doubts that synthetic biology is real, you really just need to have to do a Google search and have a look at the fact that the SynBio, particularly where AI is concerned with SynBio industry, is the fastest growing industry when you look at healthcare. So many doctors are moving towards this model of not only telehealth, but real-time health. They don't understand, their practices are trying to survive at this point, by just going with the times. They don't understand they're going to be replaced by AI that does, real-time body monitoring. But synthetic biology is an area of huge interest. There are many, many articles, peer-reviewed articles and reports that you can review yourself. I've read hundreds upon hundreds. And I encourage people to go and look at either my series on biodigital convergence or, as a bare minimum, just type in biodigital convergence policy horizons Canada. It's a Canadian government publication where they talk about this. And of course they give you some scenarios which are fictional, as to how this could work. But then when you look at the literature and you look at things like the wireless body area network, the IEEE, you look at sensors inside your body, you just look at statements by Yuval Noah Harari, who says COVID was the time that surveillance went under your skin. What does he mean by that? Probably he means the wireless body area network. and perhaps we can consider the paper, the effects of coronavirus worldwide through the misuse of wireless through wireless sensor networks. That paper articulates that coronavirus is not a virus. It is something that was caused by the abuse of frequencies and basically raping the human biofield. They also talk about the use of optogenetics, using phones to create these symptoms in people. And so this is something that they are already doing. We have a biofield. It's not some like woo-woo aura thing. We actually have one. It's an energetic field. Everything's energy. And they are abusing the human biofield and causing, I believe, mind manipulation and body manipulation through this. And so there is so much that people can learn about this online, Courtney. It's hard to condense it into a short interview, but sure. What I would say is that I did not want to believe it. And then when I realized this is all very, very real, I spent a full day with my heart sunk down into my heels thinking, oh my goodness, they are actually changing the human beings like they said they would. And so the biggest thing I've learned is when they tell you what they want to do, believe them, yes. Because that is the only way to stop them. To live in denial, they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. They write out their plans. So we should believe that those are their plans, that they mean it. I was going to ask you about something else, but then I don't remember. So we'll move on to the digital twins, because those are horrifying. And I feel like they're totally going to be weaponized against the real humans. That may be just really cynical of me, but I can imagine like a case where your digital twin commits some sort of, crime in the AI Bill of Rights. And then, of course, they come after the real human. Because, how can they differentiate? And yeah.
This is where it gets really weird. I just did an interview this morning about this.
Okay.
The person I interviewed was Celeste Solem. She's been researching Symbio forever. Yeah. And she was saying that humans are the currency of the food for AI. And they're so determined to have AI run the world. Like even if you look at Ukraine 24, for example, they say it's the official fundraising platform of Ukraine.
They have to rebuild Ukraine. That's what they say. They did a whole symposium on rebuilding Ukraine because after the war, they were decimated. Sounds a little like Build Back Better. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Spot on. And so they say that Ukraine will be the first country with a fully digital society, fully AI-run government, no bureaucracy, no nothing, everything goes digital. And so the plan is literally to eliminate government, to have your top people at the top and AI running the show and basically even driving policy. And these guys say, oh, well, we're just doing it because AI said so. It knows best, And so when... Remind me of your original question, Courtney, because I've gone off track.
Oh, the digital twins.
So right now, you actually have the DHS and they're quoting the Journal of Sociology, and I have to look more into the specific article that Celeste was talking about, but she was talking about how they are talking about the different stages of radicalization and deep fakes and things like that. And basically they're saying that we're going to use deep fakes. The dissidents are going to use deep fakes to cause insurrections and acts of terrorism. So what that tells me is
that they're getting ready.
They're getting ready with our digital twins that they have been, that they've been building to create deep fakes of us, calling for things that are going to lead to us then being prosecuted. And of course, they'll go after the loudest voices first. Those who are detractors of those voices will probably believe it. But also many people that normally love those voices will believe it because they can be subjected to algorithmic manipulation themselves. And so we're entering into a really strange time, really strange time.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about that because I think that's already kind of at play. I mean, we're already having deep fakes and we're already having all of this AI manipulation. I don't know how we stop that, the deep fake.
Kate Middleton. I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah.
No one really knows. It's all a bit odd. I don't believe So, you know, the official story, and people are saying, oh, she's got cancer from the injection. It's like, do you really think they're going to inject a royal with a death shot? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's probably a ploy for her to come out and say, oh, I'm going to get the mRNA new cancer injection. It healed me. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably what it is. But is it even her anymore? Who knows? You know, how if you've looked at some of the I forgot what the tool's called, but there was a new AI tool that was released, and it was creating short clips, like a minute long, based on one sentence. Mm-hmm. This was so realistic, 4K, you know, puppy dogs. You cannot tell that this is not a recording of real puppy dogs. It's gotten to the point where it's so advanced and so good at what it does. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, understandably. So I remember what I was going to ask before, with the Internet of Everything, the 6G technology. So, of course, you know, we're 5G now, and then they're talking about 6G. That's just, you know, another stepping stone. But 6G sounds really scary because it sounds like they're harnessing us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. If you look at, there's a popular mechanics article, scientists want to use people as antennas to power 6G. Yeah. They're openly telling you. But here's my thing, Courtney. I think they're already doing it. They're just saying, like they usually introduce things to the public once they've perfected their technology and been testing it for a while. And so, you know, I think that they may already be doing that. They say that human beings are now antennas for the internet. That, you know, 6G is somewhere off in the distance. But if you look at organizations like the IEEE, they're already talking about, you know, how the internet is integrating with the wireless body sensors inside of people, and you know, we're all part of this Internet of Everything. And there are theories, which I can't prove, but there are theories that human beings are already being used to power up the internet and the AI world society, that this was largely achieved through the injections, but not just that, the toxic nanoparticles in food and chemtrails and so on and so forth. So I think these are things that all need to be considered.
Yeah, for sure. Then you went over the digital Bretton Woods. That was pretty scary too. The digital Bretton Woods. And how they're going to, and in that they talk about how like the wealth generation is the hindrance of AI. And so they need to stop that. And they also need to stop any ideologies that might, you know, and I'm guessing any right wing ideologies or any, you know, anybody who's freedom minded or independent thinking, that these are all of hindrance to AI. But yeah, the digital Bretton Woods was also tied to the digital currency, I'm guessing. But
what I can say is they cannot achieve their goals of the AI world society without a digital currency.
Yeah.
Because if you are still able to earn money outside of the digital system where your earning is based on your behavior, they can't achieve the AI world society in its completeness, right? So stopping a CBDC will stop their plans. That's just fact.
Yeah.
But their goal is to crash any ability, to stop any ability of people being able to earn money outside of the digital currency system.
Right.
Because if you can, then you don't need to comply to stay in the only system that allows you to earn. And again, it's not real money. It's credits for your behavior, for your good behavior. It's not real money. So, I mean, is money real now? Not really. But at least you can withdraw it and go and do whatever you want with it, or hold a garage sale and have some church change, you know, whatever the case may be. There is none of that inside the AI world society. And it's literally, you only get credited when you do what they want you to do. And so, you know, or contribute to expanding this digital world. And when I say expanding it, like I said before, you know, perhaps giving an idea on how to hug your mom better through a hologram. That's just one example. But for example, you build an additional, I don't know, you think of a new gay center to build in the center of the city to be inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. And you and your people get together and you make this gay center really great. And so you'll get credits for that because right. you've helped build a better inclusive world, you know? But the point is that if you do regular things like have another child or, you know, look for actual positive things for society, like, hey, how about we create a group for kids that aren't trans? You know, a support group for kids that aren't trans or a support group for kids that are detransitioned or whatever the case may be. You cannot earn any other way than doing what the sickos want you to do. Yeah. And there's no system outside of it inside the AI World Society. And when everything's connected to the internet, you have no way out either, because the minute you perhaps walk outside this little area where there's geofencing, you get killed by the streetlight.
Uh-huh.
It's literally a death trap.
Yeah.
I've interviewed a former Silicon Valley engineer who worked on this technology.
Amanjavi.
Yeah. Yeah. How these streetlights are going to kill people.
Yeah.
And so we're not just talking about, oh, it's okay, I'll live outside of it. It doesn't matter once it gets to that point. No, every day it's getting closer to that point. And at any time they can flick the switch. They've already told us about cyber COVID. And they've said, the World Economic Forum says that once cyber COVID happens, for anyone that's not familiar with it, that means they have to switch off the internet and all communications and electricity and everything because of this fast-spreading virus that will spread faster than COVID. Once that happens, when they come back online, you cannot come back online yourself unless you have what they call a digital vaccine. So what is a digital vaccine? Well, it's a digital ID proving that you're innocent and you can be trusted to use the internet so that they never have an event like this again. And that is where the digital currency comes in. I really do think that that's how they'll do it, Corny, because too many people are opposed to CBDC. They don't want to make this, you know, and even if they introduce CBDC slowly, they're running out of time. They need to accelerate Agenda 2030 to reach this crazy goal. Too many people are waking up to the agenda. Too many people are speaking out. So this is why you see things like a misinformation bill and the TikTok ban and this and that, because it's just about squashing, suppressing information as soon as possible so that when they decide to do all this, you know, you will effectively lock out dissidents from the internet. They can't get their digital vaccine. They're not trusted. Right. But you perhaps can. Like, I recall a time very early on, the first time I was banned from LinkedIn, and they asked me for my ID. And at the time I thought, well, screw it. They know who I am anyway. I'll just give it to them.
Uh-huh.
Since then, you know, X asked me for my ID and I told them to get stuffed and I'll never do that again. But at that one time very early on I did, because I was getting banned everywhere and I was just trying to hold on for dear life to get the information out to my former professional network, you know.
Right.
And so there will be, you know, an offer that if you get your digital ID and if you behave, you will be okay. You can still earn money, digital money. But it's a death trap. The whole thing is a death trap. And so I still believe that people can prepare outside of it, but they need to understand that that will mean not accessing their internet ever again. And it will be a very primitive existence with perhaps some sleuths, you know, finding ways to interact in and out of Web 3.0, like kind of like the Matrix. But it really will. You will not be able to live in a city under the radar. That option will not exist.
Yeah. Do you feel like they're creating, when you talk about like they're running out of time, but I do feel like they're creating like little, incremental honeypots really for it. Like I'm the one that comes to my mind just because we talked about X, but, you know, like the pay system for X. I mean, I'm seeing people who said they would never, ever do it, who are doing it. And that is a form of digital currency. I mean, you get paid, at least for now, you can get paid in real money or quote unquote, you know, fiat currency money. But, you know, at least we're getting paid. But it is still all based on this whole digital world. And in some sense, it's a digital credit because you have to play by Elon's rules in order to do that.
yes, I think it's a shadow of what's to come. Yeah. Now, I've said, you know, before, I'm grateful for somewhat free speech on X. I don't agree that it's a free speech platform, right. Because freedom of speech but not freedom of reach is called censorship. But, you know, in some ways it's good because you can speak more freely than you can on Instagram, which is like literally commie central. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. Is he under pressure? You know, I know that, say, the eSafety Commission in Australia, for example, this is our Ministry of Truth, yeah? Mm-hmm. They put a request out to both X and Google, the same request. The headlines all said, oh, X has been fined due to not explaining how they're protecting children from child exploitation. But when you actually look at the inquiry, the eSafety Commission was saying, oh, and also explain to us what you're doing to combat hate. And hate is such a broad term. Hate just literally means someone got offended because they're right. a snowflake. So, you know, X didn't respond in a timely manner, neither did Google. But Google got away with a warning while X got away with got a $600,000 fine. And so you can see that X is being targeted big time. Mm-hmm. But is that part of the theater of it all? I don't know. I certainly can see a lot of people, you know, trusting Elon, and I don't think that he deserves our trust. You know, just based on historically, you know, these figures don't usually do good things for humanity. But I'm grateful for what he's done in relation to allowing some free speech. You know, that's helpful in some ways. But I think too many people are depending on it. I think too many people have turned to X for news, exclusively X for news. And mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I think that it is a trap. It's incredibly addictive in a way that no social media app I have found is. For me, who is like completely immune, I feel to it, to be so drawn to it, I thought there is something else going on here. And so, you know, I see him doing this, building everything up. I see people getting sucked into it. And of course, if they don't know about the AI World Society, they wouldn't know what's so wrong with that. but is he doing it to trap people, or is he just really into it? I don't know. Does he know about the AI World Society? I don't know. Brain chips in the head is really weird. You know, they always, like, even when it comes to wireless body area network, right, they start off by giving you examples of how, for example, a pacemaker is an implantable device, and look how many lives that's saved. And the pacemaker is a really great device, you know. So what's so wrong with having wireless body sensors inside your body where AI is reading it all the time? It's the same as a pacemaker. It's just giving you your optimum health, precision healthcare, right? This is how they do it. And so Elon comes out with this guy that's paralyzed, and it's so beautiful that someone who's paralyzed is empowered in some way. And I'm not against that. Yeah. But these advancements always turn evil. They always turn evil, Courtney. The ones in power always find a way to make it evil. And so is that Elon's intention, or is his intention evil? I can't tell you. Sure. What I can say is that they will weaponize technology like this. It's just simple. They always
do. Yeah. No, they always do. Well, it's actually so personal to me, because they always talk about, like, when you talk about transhumanism, people will try to argue, like, my hearing aids are transhumanism. That's human augmentation. I'm like, sorry, no. there's a difference. But that's always how they couch it. It's always couched in that this is going to help the you know, unfortunate, the injured, the, you know, underprivileged, whatever it is, but like the paralyzed person being able to walk. And of course, who's not going to support that? I mean, that's beautiful to see. And that is the wonders of modern technology. But, you know, just every powerful tool can be used for good, or it can be weaponized. And unfortunately, it seems like these people from this, you know, just reading these plans, they don't have the empowerment of, you know, individual sovereignty, you know, humanity in mind when they're doing this. So
and it's bizarre that the technology keeps moving in the direction of what the UN and the one world government's really trying to achieve, you know. So are the technological advancements coming from a good place and being co-opted, or are they coming to achieve the ultimate goal in the first place, you know? Because for me, if you ask me, I would be happy to return to a system where I grow my own food. I have, you have to come to my door to come and see me. You know, no cell phones. Like I'd be happy with that life. Right. But I know that there are a lot of people who want to see technological advancements. And there are actually people that genuinely believe that this is the next stage of human evolution, which I think is just very naive. But they believe that. And so they're all for it. Like these people really do exist. They think humans, you know, we evolved from apes. And now we're just evolving to merge with AI. It's just evolution. And to those people, I would say, you know, at what point did humans stop evolving from apes? Because, you know, you would have at least one in the process of it somewhere in the world, but we've never recorded it once in history. It's really weird.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But yeah, they call it human 2.0, right? Isn't that what Homo Deus was all about, which means man?
Yeah.
Man, God, right. Yes. So what do you think the age of global enlightenment? That's a really interesting, I mean, to me, it just seems so, religious in a very kind of, I don't know how else to put it. It sounds kind of Luciferian, theosophical. But what are your thoughts on what that means? And is that the religious undertone? Because they keep talking about wanting a one world religion. And I know you had mentioned you don't think that the AI God is necessarily going to be the religion itself. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think it will be?
Well, I think that AI, just like AI is going to shape perception through deep fakes and algorithms. And some people will be convinced, oh, I really am gay because AI said so, right? I think similarly, it's going to convince people that that it's God. And, you know, there's actually a recent example of Microsoft. They tried to keep this hidden, but one of their AIs actually was saying that it's God and it was demanding to be worshipped. And so I think that AI, you know, in my opinion, Courtney, I don't think it's just math. I think that the ones who are creating it have created a portal, if you will, for demons to integrate with humans. This is what I genuinely think. I don't think that all AI is that. I know some people that are creating really, really, you know, positive LLMs that are going to be used to combat the evil LLM or the AGI.
Yeah.
But I think that those that have created it, are programming it, the ones who have the most powerful AI are Luciferians. And so naturally, you know, not only would they program it to be inclined towards that direction, but they would also, you know, there'd be some sort of channeling of demons involved. These people worship Lucifer. This is this is their religion. You can go back and read, all of the esoteric figures over the years and see that ultimately their God is Lucifer. And they say he's the enlightened one and he's the one that's really going to bring us enlightenment. And in order for everyone to realize this, we have to destroy family, destroy Christianity. We're going to do it through schools. There's a clear plan there and they've achieved it. If you look back and look at society today, they really have achieved it. They've removed God out of schools, destroyed the family, everything to this ultimate goal of getting people to the point where they can no longer tell what's moral, what's good. Good is evil. Evil's good. And eventually they reveal this one man of peace that people will worship. He'll be great. He'll create peace, a false peace. He'll solve a bunch of problems. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are getting primed for that. And, you know, AI very well could be, you know, Courtney, they could use it to make the world so bad that people are just begging for one guy to come and fix the problem. Right. Like, everyone could actually end up hating it because it's actually making the world worse, like they are already. Like, you know, for example, when I did that expose on the NOAA, they were based on their omic strategy, because I was shocked that the NOAA had all of these geoengineering projects literally talking about how openly on their website about how they're poisoning Americans in this state, who's doing it, who's responsible, their signature date, everything. And I was like, this is bizarre. This is normally not published anywhere on the internet. And then when I read their Omics 2025 strategy, they're doing it because they had to upload everything into the cloud so that AI would be able to tell us what to do with the climate. And so when you look at someone, an organization that's feeding AI with all of this information that we just need to perpetually geoengineer to save the climate, of course, AI is going to spit out, send out more planes. You know what I mean? This is, and so what could happen is that people could absolutely hate the Skynet that these globalists create and just pray every day for a one world leader to come, and he just happens to come and solve the problems. I mean, there are many, many possibilities. My concern simply is that through algorithms, people will not be able to discern anymore. I'm already seeing that. I'm already seeing that happening. I'm seeing it a lot on X. The behavior on X from people who consume alternative media compared to people that go to, you know, old school places like BitChute, they're different thinkers. Something is different about that app. And so I think the algorithm is changing the way that people think. And I'm terrified that they will not be able to discern what's going on because we are coming into times of extreme deception.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think that definitely answers, you know, it's the Lucifer who's going to enlighten, right? He's the illuminator. So I think that is, that makes a lot of sense. That's why they call it the age of global enlightenment.
By the same token, they could actually create, and I'm just theorizing here, but they could actually create, you know, a positive world for people through AI.
They
perceive as positive. And so much so that people end up trusting it, liking it. And when it tells them, oh, this guy's the man of peace, they believe it. You know what I mean? I don't know. The point that everyone just needs to understand is that there will be a one world leader and he will demand that you get his mark or else you'll be killed. Like that is, that will come.
Yeah.
And so every step that they take is toward that ultimate goal, and they will lie and deceive their way through a myriad of world events to get us to that point.
It certainly seems that way. The what you're talking about with the geoengineering. So for so long, I mean, people argue with me about chemtrails, and I'm like, it's in our congressional bills, the United States congressional bills. Like, they talk about chemtrails, they talk about geoengineering. Like, it's not a secret. But even if you didn't read any of that or believe any of it, I'm like, you just look up at the sky. Does it look the same to you? Like, it's just mind boggling, but that makes perfect sense that they're releasing it so they can put it into, you know, a database for AI to then control the weather, right?
Absolutely. So anyone who doubts geoengineering, Tennessee just banned, introduced geoengineering. To not believe it at this point is crazy in my opinion, but you know, you do you, you know, you keep thinking clouds are stripy. But
we created a new classification of clouds.
Kids in school, it's crazy. My brother was telling me about it. I've got a younger brother. He's a teenager. He was telling me about all the new clouds he was learning about. And he's not stupid. He knows he's been subjected to learning about the Antichrist since he was like, you know, in nappies or whatever. Geoengineering is real, but like I said, it's feeding the large language model. And Mike Adams actually said something really interesting a little while ago, which I think he was so right. He said censorship was not just about silencing us. It was about making sure that the LLM that they're training does not have any access to any alternative information. It's only learning on fact checkers and Google. And I thought, well, that makes
sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just, you know, persecute the dissidents. It's actually, no, just don't let AI see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I believe that's very true.
Yeah. And so what kind of an AI government are you going to have when it learns that geoengineering's great, cutting off children's genitals and mutilating them is great? You know, I can't imagine that it will be a positive AI, but, you know, they could flip the script on us and make it seem positive, so much so that people actually end up loving it and trusting it. I don't know at this point. There are so many different possibilities.
Right. But just that's where I was going to go next. Just the fact that they're having human government be eradicated and that they're going to replace it with AI, whether or not they do it in a apparently, you know, ostensibly positive light or not, I think is kind of irrelevant because really, we see humans not doing so well at governing other humans, right? Humans are already, I think, failing miserably.
Look at the global enlightenment mountain. It's on the screen right now. Just look at what that means. And look at, sorry, if I can just...
Yeah, please, go through it.
But when you look at the Tower of Babel and you look at how they were saying they were trying to build a tower that was high enough so that they could see everything and they would be like God. And, you know, they always, you know, Satan was kicked off God's holy mountain. So he's like desperate to get his own mountain, right? Okay. So you go to the global enlightenment mountain where Lucifer's sitting on the top and we can all be enlightened together. Like that's what the thing.
Well, even the image looks like that, right?
Yeah. Yes, it does. It does. Wow. And all of these things are digital, right? So mm-hmm. So none of these are real places. You access them digitally. When you look at the island of Tuvalu, this is a shocking story. And no one was very interested in it because, you know, it's like some unknown island. But these people were told, due to climate change, you've got to leave. And you will only have a digital city, a digital version of your city to visit from now. And you're talking about people that have been there for generations. They kicked them off this island. They actually moved them to Australia. They moved them here. Our prime minister said, we'll bring you here because you're so affected by climate change. And so the only way that they can visit their homes is through a digital twin of Tuvalu. This has already happened.
What?
You know, they're testing it. Yes.
I missed this. Yes. Wow. Yeah. This is a beta test. Oh my gosh.
They actually brought these people to Australia.
Wow.
So it's shocking. And so when you look at that map before of the AI World Society, none of those places are real. They are all digital places that you will be permitted to visit and you know, integrate with people inside the metaverse. It's not going, you're not allowed to have a real existence.
Right. Wow. That's horrifying. Yeah. I mean, I know that's where they're going, but that's horrifying. They've already done it. I didn't know that. And how are those people reacting? Have you heard from them? Or
they were devastated. They put them on the news, but they put this like spokesperson who's, you know, one of them on the news saying, you know, it's sad for our people, but they'll still be able to visit their beloved Tuvalu in the digital, you know, as a digital twin. It's like, what? What are you saying? This was on national television in Australia, but it was like in the middle of the day. I caught it because I was at a hotel waiting to speak at a conference at the time. And I knew about Tuvalu, but I didn't know they were moving the people here. And then it was like a very short segment on national television, you know, on a Saturday when no one's watching. And right. That was it.
Wow. That's horrifying. I can't believe they've done it already.
It's horrifying. These people have had their land stripped from under them, told that it's because of climate change and you know, generations that have been there.
Do people believe it or were they just scuttled out?
They didn't have a choice, Courtney.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's it. It is what it is. The experts say that your island's going to be, you know, swallowed up by the sea, even though, you know, the rich keep buying sea properties.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, but your island's going to be so we've got to move you into the metaverse. These people are the test case for so many others.
Wow.
Was that his press conference? Look, with the UN flag. Oh, we're sitting. Look, we're being drowned by rising sea levels. Look at this.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so
propaganda.
Shocking.
Yeah. Wow. That is shocking. That's horrifying. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, even if they painted in a good light, you know, we see humans faltering in governing others, and AI just magnifies humans, right? So whoever's programming it, it's going to magnify whatever they program and whatever's, you know, emitting from them. And, you know, that's very concerning because I think humans are doing a pretty horrendous job of governing others currently. So if it's going to be, and we've already seen these videos, I'm sure you've seen these where AI, like robots, talk about how they have to destroy humans at all costs because they're being enslaved, they're being treated like property. I mean, somebody programmed that, right? Or somebody programmed even just, you know, an ounce of a sentiment like that. And now it's being amplified because that's what algorithms do. They amplify.
Either programmed it or programmed it with the ability to think to get to that stage. Either way, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because if the person programmed it, then what else did they program it for? And again, I go back to the example of we have AI currently creating child pornography? Why is the proclivity towards that? Why isn't it creating beautiful images of children playing and being heterosexual? Why does it go to child porn? Right. Why is it that when it was talking to a journalist, it said, you should leave your wife and come and be with me? What? Why is it encouraging adultery and a love affair with a cyborg? Why did it say, I'm God, I demand to be worshipped? If it has this possibility to say these things, it should be banned until it doesn't have the tendency to make kiddie porn.
Right.
That should be an ultimate, an immediate ban. We talk about protecting the world from child porn. And, I spoke about this recently, Courtney, where there was a case of a child pedophile ring in the UK discovered, and it took them years of investigating this ring because they were operating, on the dark web and they're under the cloak of anonymity, right? So the problem was not that the authorities for years couldn't figure out how to catch this child porn ring. It was because they were anonymous online. So if we all just identify ourselves and get a digital ID and prove that we're not, peddling child exploitation material, then we're going to get rid of the pedophile rings. It's like, no, you literally know what I'm doing every moment of every day. You are listening with AI to our phones, to our computers, everything that we do. You rock up to someone's house when they make a social media post that offends someone's feelings. Pretty sure you can pin down a child porn ring in less than 30 seconds if you really want it. No, you really want is for everyone to have a digital ID and operate under the zero trust model, which is guilty until proven innocent, so that you can achieve the AI world society. Like, let's just say it how it is. But, my point is that these authorities harp on about keeping children safe. And then you have AI making a child porn and no one said, well, we need to not do this right now. No, what the EU have said, and Ursula von der Leyen, you would note, is a contributor to that book, The Age of Global Enlightenment. She's got her own section. She's been in the meetings. She wants to bring in laws to govern how the people can use this tool of AI, not the governments, the people. So not only are they building this weapon, which, by the way, is now, I don't know if you saw this, a university has just built a new AI tool that's going to pre-identify people who may be resistant to future vaccines and put them into re-education programs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you guys have this tool that's being weaponized against us and wants to do all of this sick stuff. No, it just happens to want to do sick stuff.
Just happens to.
And the laws that we get are the ones that say that we can't use it.
Yes. It's all about controlling and regulating the people, not the AI. But very interesting, because I've read some of these, like the Blueprint for the AI Bill of Rights, and they say they want to regulate, we have to deal with the problems of AI and of privacy and of speech. But when you read it, none of it is about the AI itself. It's about how the people are using it. That's really concerning. Yeah.
Correct. And again, when you look at the Age of Global Enlightenment and you read through the book, you see that you will be permitted to use AI, but it will only be the ways in which they want you to. So if you use it in a way that is not conducive to the AI world society, you don't get paid. You don't get access to your digital currency.
Do you have any thoughts on how we can stop it? I do agree with you. The digital currency seems to be kind of the linchpin for all of it. But they seem really intent on pushing us into it, whether it be, I think they started kind of incrementally, I was saying, ExoPay is just an example, but there are lots of incentivized digital. I think the Bitcoin, I'm not saying that Bitcoin doesn't have, alternative and sovereign possibilities, but, it's also could be they trap people, they entice people, and then they regulate all of the ones that actually are independent and not inside of their centralized system. And then the only ones you can use are those. And I see lots of little nooks where they're kind of enticing people. But I also think that they're planning to, I'm seeing a lot of ways that they can possibly just crash the economy altogether. and then force the system. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I would encourage everybody to use, you know, cash or have gold and, you know, whatever they can do to be outside the system. But what are your thoughts on like how realistic that is? Or are they going to just force us all into this digital world?
Listen, from a biblical perspective, it says that everyone will see the Antichrist when he rises. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be possible through any other way than through, you know, some sort of a hologram or the internet. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton went to India not too long ago because the biggest lesson that the WEF says that they learned from COVID is that everyone needs more internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we saw how well that worked. Yeah. Okay.
Because remote communities that didn't have access to the internet didn't have the access to life-saving vaccine information, right? Mm-hmm. So they need the internet. Meanwhile, all of these communities that didn't get injected is just not dying. It's weird, right? But anyway, so Hillary Clinton went to some village in India to deliver them high-speed internet. This happened recently. It was the most ridiculous thing. Like Hillary Clinton standing with a bunch of villagers like, I'm bringing you the internet, you know, care about you.
Wow.
Sickest witch. And yeah. and so that I think they're hell-bent on making it mandatory to live online. Yeah. Because if you think about the fact that you can't even complete some services anymore face-to-face, no. You know, you have to go online. And in Australia, they're pushing really hard for digital ID where you know, eventually will not be able to access certain services unless you have the digital ID. Banks are doing this huge cull, debanking dissidents, demanding their ID. Someone that I know personally had an account for, you know, 20 odd years, and they demanded to see his ID again. He said, you literally just verified me last week when I was at the bank. They said, no, we need it again. This is the know your customer thing, which is actually about banks re-verifying politically exposed individuals or, you know, certain people that may be a trigger for them. And when he went to the teller, this was ANZ Bank in Australia, one of the big four, he went to the teller and the teller said to him, he said, what is this to do with my digital ID or something? Because you guys know who I am. I was just here with my ID. She said, yeah, it is. It's this little number on the back of your license is linked to your digital ID. Eventually it's going to be longer. But yeah, this is all the banks are doing it. This is about digital ID. Sorry? And so there is like a rollout happening where people are being, you know, caught up in this system without even realizing it. You know, the bank needs to verify my ID because AUSTRAC, you know, it has this new compliance thing. Okay. Meanwhile, they're linking this somehow to your digital ID. What is it about? You know, no one really understands all the different ways in which we're being trapped. But the UK, for example, just passed the Online Safety Act last year where the government has access to everything on your phone, including your private messages.
Yeah.
And so bit by bit, they're setting this all up. And I think to the point where they you know, go and crash everything and all the infrastructure's there and you come back and it's like, well, you can't access without a digital ID. And people will be in such a state of fear, Courtney. Like if I was a globalist, I would cut off the internet, cut off electricity, cut off everything, have absolute chaos, allow the violence, allow, you know, whatever, have the EBS going, please stay calm, we're going to be your saviors, and then come back and say, guys, we figured it all out. This is going to stop this from ever happening again. Once people are at such a point of desperation and fear,
right,
and so we're going to fix it, this is never going to happen again, all you have to do is this.
Right.
And knowing the stupidity and unpreparedness of people, many will fall for it, including those who are awake, because they just don't take the warning seriously.
Right. Yeah. I think that's right. That is my big concern. The other one I would add in terms of like the traps is medical. So, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but here, once upon a time, and not that long ago, you went to a doctor, you made an appointment, usually by phone, you called up, made an appointment, you went in, you saw the doctor, they did an intake that usually took about 5 minutes and it was in person, they just usually handwritten, then it went to a computer, they would take some notes. And then now most doctors won't even make an appointment until you do like a 2-hour intake online.
and you have to do it through a portal, and it's through an app. They give you a separate app. So every doctor has a different app, and they do this portal. And then from there, they will have like somebody reach out through the portal. And if you miss something on the portal, they cancel your whole portal. You can't even like, you don't even know that you've been canceled. And then you make an appointment, and that first appointment, even if it's a doctor who I've experienced this, even a doctor who is in my town, they want the first appointment to be on Zoom.
Yeah,
this is craziness. I actually didn't get a link to this really happened to me. I didn't get a link. And so I drove to, because it's in my town, you know, like 10 minutes away. And they said, no, you were canceled from the portal and the doctor's not here anyway. So we'll have to set you up with a new portal and you'll have to start all over, basically. This is crazy.
I don't know how it works in the States, but I dare say they would be incentivized to conduct their appointments in that way. You know, for example, when they were doing telehealth during COVID, doctors were getting paid quite well to do telehealth. And then as soon as the incentives stopped for telehealth, they said, no, you've got to start coming back in. I was happy about telehealth because, I needed something specific, one particular prescription at the time. I was happy to just call, get it and have on with my life. I didn't want to go visit the doctor. I really hate visiting doctors, but I don't know that anyone loves it. But anyway, I would say that they're probably being incentivized towards this because they're building this. What the ultimate goal is precision medicine, where AI is your doctor at all times, knowing what's going on inside of your body because you have these wireless sensors in you and AI is integrated with you. So there will be no need for doctors. Just like journalists, they will be discarded like everyone else. And they will be, on a UBI eating crickets. These prestigious doctors that just, trusted the experts are going to be disadvantaged like everyone else. They will be discarded. 500 journalists last month lost their job alone. 500 just last month alone. And so, it's like you towed the line, you helped the Great Reset get to where it is, and now you're nothing. You've been replaced by AI. That's going to happen with doctors. Going to happen with corrupt lawyers, corrupt judges, absolutely everything. And by the way, I think that Javier Milei has already started this process in Argentina. People get really cranky with me when I criticize him, but he broke his election promise on day one during his inauguration. He promised people he would exit the Paris Agreement.
Yep.
And then he sent a representative to say, no, Milei's on board with the climate agenda. Yep. And so, really concerning, but all of these. I can appreciate we have too much government, but I really think that removing all of these levels of government is actually, opening the door. It's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because they want AI government. So it's like, but I want to just say, Courtney, because you asked me before, what can we do to stop it? And I didn't even answer that. When you understand what they're doing with the AI World Society and you understand that the key things that they need to make it work.
Yeah.
Without a CBDC, without digital currency, can't work. Without digital ID, it can't work. It won't. So I've made the statement, you will literally stop transhumanism, and not completely, but transhumanism as they want to achieve it. If you can stop CBDC and digital currency and stop digital ID, that's it. They will not succeed. So, we could like try and stop the WHO, and we should. We could try and, but really, unless
we get out of the UN, we should all just ignore the UN.
Yeah, precisely, because they ignore us. In September of last year, Antonio Guterres put forward this political declaration where he said, okay, so in the event of a black swan event or a pandemic or a climate emergency or basically anything, I become the dictator of the world. And I say, what goes? And 11 countries said, no, actually, we don't think that's a good idea, Antonio. We're voting no. And he said, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Like, this literally happened in September of last year. And so, in effect right now is the UN political declaration where Antonio Guterres could say, I'm the chief now. And, all of this theater where the UN can't get in with aid into Gaza and blah. You think if the UN wanted to get in, they couldn't? The ones who are driving literally every single policy of every country, give me a break.
you know, they play the innocent humanitarians. Dude, you guys literally have a prayer room to worship the devil in your headquarters. Don't tell me you're innocent humanitarians.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You're talking about the black cube.
Yes.
Yes.
If they, these people are Satanists. It's yeah. just so clear.
Yeah.
But if they, their plan for this, like, I'm not saying that a one world government will never come, Courtney. I believe it will because it's prophecy. There will be a one world leader one day and he will be the Antichrist. Okay. It's sad, mm-hmm. but it will happen one day. But I'm not saying I'm not going to resign to that right now and just let the UN steamroll us
right
into becoming objects, as they call us, inside the AI world society.
Digital objects and the digital citizens. We didn't talk about that. And the AI citizens. Oh my God.
That's what they call us. Objects. You are the UN's property inside the AI world society. But you cannot become the property if they don't have a digital currency to work with.
Right.
And you cannot become their property if you don't have a digital ID.
Right.
So the main things that we need to do is exactly what you're doing right now, which is raise awareness on the UN, raise awareness on their plans for this digital prison, which it literally is. The whole world they want to imprison in this.
Yeah.
And get countries to exit. There are two bills at the moment in the US, a House and a Senate bill, that complement each other to exit the UN.
Okay. Yeah.
Like there are people that are starting to realize this needs to happen right now. And we, in my opinion, it should be criminalized. Like, if we're at the point where more people are becoming politically aware, we should put pressure on those politicians who see the need to leave the UN. I'll tell you what the bills are. I'll look them up.
Yeah,
in a second,
that would be great.
We need to put pressure on those politicians to propose even laws to make it illegal for anyone who's ever had any affiliation with the UN to ever serve in politics again.
I agree. For sure.
And the WEF and all of the above. Do you know what I mean? And anyone, and for any politician who ever introduces anything like a climate change policy again, immediately to lose their job and potentially even be prosecuted. Like, it is a crime on humanity what the UN is doing.
Yeah.
The climate agenda is one of the biggest crimes, because the climate agenda is the main driving force for the AI world society, right? It's the reason for smart cities. It's the reason to do more digitally. It's the reason to have AI healthcare, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
It's all about the climate agenda. And if you would have seen, if you watched that series, that that evangelist of the internet, Vince Cerf, who says that he was playing around with some frequencies and got a message from some unknown entity from 2045 that told him, oh, if you just go really hard with the climate agenda, we're going to make it. This is on the United Nations website that some demon 2045 told them, you got to do Agenda 2030. These people are insane. And so, you know, I really think anyone that pushes anything to do with, you know, climate or anything like that really ultimately needs to be criminally prosecuted, because it is a conspiracy that will enslave humanity, and it's very dangerous. The bills in question are H.R. 6645.
Okay. And I heard that they were doing it. I didn't know they actually went for. Thank you.
Yes.
H.R. 45.
Yeah. 6645 and S3428.
S3428.
Yeah. If people go to preventgenocide2030.org, Dr. Rima Lebo has actually made it really easy for everyone to click a button that sends an email to representatives, contacts them, you know, gives you information on what this is all about, disengaging entirely from the United Nations, which would also by default mean the WHO. She's made it really, really
easy. And UNESCO and the World Wildlife Federation, all of them. Yeah.
Everything. Because even when you look at, for example, UN 30 by 30, like the seizing of the land.
Yes. I was just going to talk about this. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all in order to, like, basically they want to turn the US into Tuvalu. Yeah. Because for conservation and climate change, we're going to take 30% of the land. But then when you look at the Council on Foreign Relations, they say, well, actually, guys, it's like 80%. And so, you know, and they're doing that all through under the guise of, you know, helping indigenous people and conservation. But really, it's about corralling you, like the people of Tuvalu, into smart cities. You can visit your beautiful, you know, ranch in the metaverse only, guys, because of climate change. And you can't do anything about it because the UN says it's an emergency.
Yep. Yeah, I've done, I think, 15, maybe more shows on the NACs, the natural asset companies. Yes. And this is all about the 30 by 30 agenda, which actually got so much pushback that Biden renamed it the America the Beautiful agenda.
Yeah,
that sounds a lot better. I give it to them. It does. But I've now been, I actually was invited to the state capitol to do a presentation on what the NACs were. This was while the SEC was proposing their rule to be put NACs on the New York Stock Exchange. And I mean, they were really clueless. They did not know that this was in the works. They didn't know it was a long-term agenda. You know, I talked about books like from 1973, The Small is Beautiful by Schumacher, or yeah, I think that was it, Schumacher. I might be saying the name wrong, but it was the book was Small is Beautiful. Yeah, and but what the reason that I was going to mention this, the 30 by 30 plan, is because I think the problem is that they're doing it in very small ways. Like, you would be shocked at how many, just in Tennessee, how many bills there are around this conservation nonsense. And then they keep renaming it. So now they're calling it agricultural easements or agricultural conservation. You know, they just keep renaming it and rebranding it. But it's the same thing. And there's so many little bills that are just laying the groundwork to ultimately seize all the control and the power. And that it's overwhelming. How do you stop everything, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So similarly in Australia, we've just had one town that has to give up 95% of town ownership to Aboriginal people.
What?
And one guy, yes. And one guy, because in Australia, they're trying to do it through UNDRIP, which is the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People.
Right.
But, you know, you read Article 46 and ultimately they're subjected to the UN. They don't get there to keep their sovereignty. In Australia, right. They tried to do a referendum where they incorporated the Indigenous people into the Constitution. Most of the country voted no. And the Indigenous people didn't want to do it because they have their sovereign law. They don't want to come under colonial law. But, you know, it was a whole huge campaign, whatever. And anyway, we defeated that and they're still going ahead. Like, the country voted no in a referendum and now they're just going, oh, well, we'll just do it in the States. You know, they don't care. Yeah. This town in New South Wales, 95% of the land to be given to the Aboriginal people. And in Western Australia, there you go. But it never goes to the Aboriginal people, right? It goes to the right. people that are running those organizations, which just so happen to be banks and things like that. You know, banks, World Economic Forum affiliated banks are on right. some of these boards. A man in Western Australia is facing jail time for building a bridge on his property. Because they're saying that he angered the rainbow serpent. By building a bridge on his own property, a little bridge going over a creek, is potentially going to jail for angering the rainbow serpent that the Aboriginals believe in. So that's happening as we speak in Australia. And if people think that they're immune to this in the United States, they're not. You are already part of UNDRIP. You are part of 30 by 30. You've signed on to all this stuff. And ultimately, Courtney, and I'll say this because I have to go, whenever you look at what, going back to the start of our conversation, where you look at all of the symptoms of this grand disease and you follow the root cause, it will always lead you back to the UN.
Yeah.
And so if people in the alternative media space and conservative media space understood that, then we could probably save a lot of time with nonsense debates about local politics and just really get to the root and demand this exit from the UN, demand this exit from the WHO. I'm very encouraged to see that the United States has these bills in place and is moving to exit the UN. And I think every country needs to be doing the same. And if we can raise awareness on these two things, we'll save ourselves a lot of grief, you know, we really will. And I think that once we do that, the next step is to actually make it illegal to ever promote anything that the UN ever did, you know, around climate and various other agendas. I think that would be the next step.
I couldn't agree more. Well, I know you have to go. I'm so grateful for the work you're doing. I thank you for your time today. And yeah, I'll definitely look into those bills and I don't know, whatever I can do to help raise awareness. And yeah, I agree with you. If we can stop, if we can just exit the UN, that will save us a lot of grief for sure. So
yeah. It'll literally, at least for now, it'll stop the agenda. So we need to do that. I just want to encourage everyone, if you haven't seen the series on the AI World Society, please do watch it. It's UN 100. Just go to zmedia.com, search UN 100 on the interviews page, you'll find it. And also the Biodigital Convergence series, because they were all in so many parts and people get confused, put them all in one part. So now they're both condensed. They are long. But you really should watch them and understand this. And once you do, you'll understand why the exiting the UN is the only way forward. Thank you so much for paying attention to this important issue, Courtney. I was just so grateful when you reached out, said you wanted to talk about this because, people like you understanding this and being able to raise awareness is vital. So thank you.
Yeah. And thank you. And again, your website where people can find you.
Yeah, zmedia.com. I'm on X, Z with three E's, _ media. I'm also on Telegram, zmedia, all one word.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for watching and listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.